Our reading from the Word of God tonight is taken from the Gospel according to John, and in the 14th chapter. This is a chapter that contains many well-known verses and whole sections, and I'm going to commence to read at verse 1. I was looking if I could start somewhere else, but you get the better picture if you begin at the beginning. So here we are in John's Gospel, chapter 14, reading from verse 1, where the speaker is our Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Amen, and may the Lord our God bless to us that portion of his word. The passage of scripture that I want to set before you tonight is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses, particularly verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, where we read these words of the Apostle Paul's: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." If I might narrow it down, the words that I want to emphasize tonight are these: the God of all comfort comforts us so that we can comfort others with the comfort that we have received from God. One great preacher towards the close of his life said that if he had his life to live all over again and his ministry before him, not neglecting the cross, but he said that he would lay greater emphasis on the ministry of comfort. And I'm sure that I can agree with him there, having spent, 35 years in Baptist ministry as a pastor, and then 9 years as an elder since then. The ministry of comfort in a church fellowship and flowing out from a church fellowship is so very, very important. There is a great deal of comfort of one sort or another that is needed in the world today. We haven't got to go very far from this building or very far from our homes to find out how true that is. I don't know whether it's just the age in which we live, with all its political, industrial, and financial and social unrest, but there is hardly a person, hardly a family, hardly a home that in one way or another doesn't stand in need of loving care, comfort, and encouragement. Indeed, we all need it from time to time. And these words before us tonight direct our attention to the one who is able to give this help and this comfort to us, this comfort that we need. This word comfort that we find in our text, in the original, is a Greek word, of course, and it is sometimes translated comforter, counselor, as it was in the reading from the New King James Version, helper, or as it's found in some of the older hymns, paraclete. That's nearer to the Greek word, actually. Parakletos is the word that is used here. But this word basically refers to someone who is called alongside to help. To help when people are in trouble. To support when they are bowed down. To strengthen them when they are weak. To encourage them when they are losing heart. To testify for them when they are opposed. To comfort them when they are sad. It's a very important word that is found in the New Testament scriptures, used so often in the Gospels there, in John 14 particularly, and in the writings of the Apostle Paul. Who then is the one who helps us in these needful ways? Paul replies very clearly and plainly and says, he is God. All right then, how does Paul describe God here before us? Well, he describes him as the God of all comforts. And by this lovely title, Paul seems to mean that whatever kind of help or comfort or encouragement that we may need, God is the true source of it. Therefore, whatever our need, we can turn to God because he is the God of all comforts. Now, in my studies, I have found it interesting to note that not only is the God of all comfort, but this ministry of coming alongside to help is the ministry of the entire Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. The three persons of the Trinity, in one place or another, are described as a comforter, a paraclete, a helper, a counselor. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the God of all comfort is described in verse 2, the verse before the ones that we are particularly looking at. He's described as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here he is. He is the first person of the glorious Trinity. He is God the Father, and he is concerned about our well-being. Just think about that for a moment. God the Father is interested in us as individuals, and he is concerned about our well-being. The Father is one who draws near to help us and to hold us in times of need. So that's what we learn here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Comforter is God the Father. If we turn towards the end of the New Testament to the writings of the Apostle John, in his first little letter there in chapter 2 and verse 1, we learn that the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, is our Comforter or our Helper. It's the same Greek word that is used there as well. It's translated in the New King James Version as advocate. In the New International Version, it's translated with the words, we have one who speaks in our defense, someone who is an advocate. For the truth is that when we as believers sin, Jesus, the righteous one, comes alongside us to plead our cause. First, he admits our guilt before the Father. And then he tells the Father and shows the Father that he has paid the penalty for our sins so that we can be forgiven. And when Jesus does this, he is acting as our paraclete. He is acting as our advocate. He is acting as the counsel for our defense. He is our comforter. Wesley catches the picture and the truth of this in his hymn, Depth of Mercy Can There Be? Mercy still reserved for me. For after mentioning our sins and our advocate, he goes on to say, there for me the Savior stands, shows his wounds and spreads his hands. And he is pointing us to our advocate, to our Savior. Jesus there is pleading our cause. He is pleading the merits of his death on our behalf so that God is able to forgive the sins that we then confess. So here in 2 Corinthians 1, it's God the Father who is the Comforter. There in 1 John chapter 2, it is Jesus the Son, the second person of the Trinity, who is our advocate and comforter. And yet that isn't all. And this is why we read from John chapter 14. In John 14 and verse 16, we learn that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the glorious Trinity, is our comforter as well. Do you remember those well-known words of Jesus as he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. He will give you another comforter. He will give you another counselor, another paraclete. And that word another means another like myself. Not someone else who is different from me, but someone who is very much like me. I will give you another comforter to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. You see, it's the same word that is being used here in the original Greek language. And here we learn that the Holy Spirit isn't just a power emanating from God, as some would want us to believe, but the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a divine person. He is another person like our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he comes to us. Indeed, he indwells those who trust in Jesus, and he assures us in so many ways of so many blessings, and he helps us. He leads us into all truth, doesn't he? He reveals the Son of God, Jesus, to our hearts. He empowers us for service. He makes us more like Jesus. He assures us that we are the children of God, and so much more. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit as he comforts us and encourages us. He encourages us and comforts us when we are weak, when we are sad, when we are lonely. He is that one who draws near to us, and we feel his presence, and we know that he is near. No wonder then that the Apostle Paul here describes God as the God of all comfort, because each of the three persons of the Godhead are involved. Each is a comforter and encourager and a helper of God's people. But as I said earlier, in the verses before us tonight, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it is particularly God the Father who is in view. It's his comfort that is mentioned. And so we notice here in the second verse that he is called God our Father. You see, what Paul is doing here, he's writing as a Christian to Christians. He's writing to people who can call God my Father. Our Father, he says. This is our Comforter. He is our Father. And he says that this one who comforts us is not just God the Creator, who may seem rather remote and distant from us. No, he is our Father. And that's very significant, isn't it? God has a relationship, yes, with every person in the world through his being Creator. But he has a very special relationship with those who are his believing people. And this relationship is far deeper and much more intimate, much more real than that of a creator towards his creation. It's a relationship of a father with his child. And even in our own human families, such a relationship is very special, isn't it? Very close, very loving. I think of my past relationship with my father. I think of my present relationship with my two daughters. Something very real, something very special, something very close, even with my human weaknesses and with my human limitations. Well, if that is true of me, how much better, how much higher, how much more intimate must this relationship of him who is perfect in his loving, in his knowing, in his understanding, and in his ability to comfort, counsel, encourage, and help us when we are in need. This is what Paul is emphasizing here. Our Comforter, he says, writing to these believers in Corinth, is God our Father. And we need to remember, or maybe to learn, that we only become children of God through trusting in Jesus the Son, who died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day. If we would know God as our Father, we must first of all know Jesus as our Savior. And the only way to know Jesus as our Savior is by repentance and by faith. That is, by acknowledging, by confessing, by turning away from our sins, and by acknowledging, confessing, and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and putting our trust in him. So what Paul writes here then is written for those who know God as Father through knowing Jesus as Savior. Do you know God as Father? Because you know his Son as your Savior and as your Lord. But if in verse 2 here God is called our Father, in verse 3 he is called the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul writes, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Now when I read here these words that God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that reminds me that Jesus was and is the Son of God in a unique sense. Remember, he claimed that special relationship with God on high. There are those words in John chapter 10 and verse 30. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Meaning that we are one in nature, we are one in essence. That being true, Jesus went on to say, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. All this, of course, means that if we want to know God the Father and what he is like, then we need to look at God the Son, because Jesus came to earth to show us the Father, to reveal him to us. And as we look into the Gospels, what do we see there and what do we learn? Well, we see Jesus as someone who was holy, someone who was just, someone who was true, yet someone who was loving, compassionate, and kind. We see Jesus as someone who was tender, helpful, and sympathetic. We were thinking of some of these things this morning. Jesus is that one who was always ready to stand by and to help those who were in need. And what we are learning here is then that this is exactly what God the Father is like. He's just like the Son who came to represent him, who came to make him known. God the Father is always ready to comfort us and to encourage us, and to show compassion to his children. He is always ready to stand by us in all circumstances and in every situation, Just as Jesus did when he was here on earth, so does the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to do so even now tonight. And that is why in verse 3, he is further called the Father of Compassion. That's how the NIV reads, and it's not quite right. It should be in the plural. What Paul actually wrote, if we're using the words from NIV, it's he is the Father of Compassions. New King James Version speaks of mercies in the plural. Paul's way of highlighting the truth that God is not just the source of one blessing, but he is the source of many blessings. Indeed, he is the source of every blessing. Hence, Paul goes on further to call him the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trials. What a God he is. What love he has for us who are his people. Are you one of his people? Do you know this comfort of which I am speaking? Well, if you want to know the comfort of such a father, then you need to know him as your father. And you can only know him as your father by knowing his son as your savior and as your Lord. So you need to confess your sins and to put your trust in the Lord Jesus and in his finished work on the cross. Because there it was that he paid the penalty of sin by dying in our place. So here we are. Paul is speaking of God as the God of all comfort. And that leads me on to my second main thought, which is this: the comfort we receive. This is what our text says. It says, the God of all comfort comforts us. And further it says, comforts us in all our troubles. Not just in some of them, but in all of them. In other words, his comfort is there when we need it. And I like to use the expression, when we need it most, God is nearer to us, nearer then than hand or foot, and he is there at the right time. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ there in the wilderness. He was weak and he was weary after that period of fasting and after being tempted by Satan, but is he ignored by his Father above? No. Angels came and ministered to him. In other words, they came alongside him and helped him. They comforted him in his time of need. Or move on in your thoughts to the life of the Apostle Paul and see him having to stand before Caesar to answer the charges that had been brought against him. Who stood with the Apostle at that time? Listen to him in 2 Timothy chapter 4. No one stood with me, he says. That is, no human being, none of my friends, everyone deserted me. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. And God still does that. He still stands at our side. He still encourages us with his presence. He still whispers in our ear and says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Or again, what about those lovely words in Isaiah chapter 43, where God says, "When you pass through the water of minor troubles, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers of greater trials, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire of the greatest possible tragedies, you will not be burned. Why? For I am the Lord your God, your Savior. I will deliver you. And I'll be with you." He is a God who comforts us in all our troubles, be it sorrow or discouragement or sickness or distress, be it loneliness or worry, uncertainty or fear. There is no trouble that is beyond the reach of the divine comfort and help, because his grace is sufficient for our every need. The God of all comfort comforts us. But let's be practical here. How does he do it? How does he comfort us? And the answer is that he does it both directly and indirectly. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31 speaks about the encouragement or the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The word there is still the same Greek word that we started with long ago now in our thoughts. It's that word which means coming alongside to help. And that is exactly what the Holy Spirit does in the life of the believer. This is why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, given to take his place when he was going to leave this earthly scene and return to glory. And the Holy Spirit came and dwelt within those who believed in the Lord Jesus in order that he might witness directly to them, assuring them of God's presence, assuring them that the ever-present help of God is available, assuring them that they are the children of... You see, this is a direct witness of the Holy Spirit. This is the direct way, one of the direct ways in which God comforts us directly through his Spirit. But then also, not only does he do that directly through the Holy Spirit that he has given to us, he also comforts us directly through the Holy Scriptures that have been given to us. Romans 15 and verse 4 speaks about the comfort of the Scriptures, telling us that the Old Testament was written in order to teach us, so that through the encouragement or the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Same word that is being used. You see, the Bible, it's an amazing book. It speaks to our every condition. It helps us in every situation. Yes, most definitely, it directs us to the way of salvation. Yet more than that, it's our directive in every aspect of life. The Word of God. Listen to David in Psalm 119 and verse 50, where he says, "My comfort in suffering is this, your promise." In other words, your word. This word of yours that you have given to me, when I am suffering in whatever way, whatever trials are coming upon David at this time, he says, that's my comfort. That's you coming directly to me through the word of God. Your word that you have given, it renews my life. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It is a word that helps us. It is a word that strengthens us. It's a word that comforts us. It always does. It's a word that can be trusted because it comes from God who can be trusted. And he uses this word to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, and to train us in righteousness. Thank God for the direct comfort and encouragement that comes to us from the Spirit and from the word. But God also comforts us indirectly through one another. He does this as others bring to us the word of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3 that everyone who prophesies, everyone who brings that word from God, they speak to others for their strengthening and for their encouragement and comfort. Same Greek word that is being used. We're not straying away from that tonight. And how often that has been true, that God has spoken his word to us through someone else when they have spoken out what God has laid on their hearts. There we were, perhaps sitting in a large or small congregation, and the Lord speaks to us in such a way, right into our situation, as if the preacher or the speaker knew all about us. And we are helped. We are encouraged. We are comforted. Now, that isn't the preacher. That is God speaking through his servant who is passing on the word of God. This is one of the ways in which God comforts us indirectly through one another. And yet this comfort that comes to us indirectly through others may have nothing to do with formal meetings like we are in tonight, but just meeting with others who love the Lord informally. In Colossians 4 and verse 11, Paul speaks about the comfort that comes through having Christian friends who are willing to come to us in our time of need. The background to that verse in Colossians 4 is that Paul was in prison in Rome. And yet here he is writing with joy about those who had visited him and had been such a comfort to him. That's what he says. Who were they? Well, in that chapter we learn who they were. Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark, Jesus Justus, Epaphras, Luke the doctor, Demas. And he says, they have proved a comfort to me. And isn't that what belonging to one another within the fellowship of the church is all about? It is knowing that there are those around us to whom we are related through Jesus, who will support us when we are weak, who will pray for us when we are in need, who will visit us when we are ill or sick or sad or lonely, who will encourage us when we are down, who will stand by us at all times. Thank God for the comfort that comes to us directly from God, but thank him also for that comfort that comes to us indirectly through one another as we work together and show ourselves to be the body of Christ. And so all those thoughts lead me on to my conclusion, to my last thought, which has to do with the comfort that we give. And this is the climax of the text. This is what Paul has been aiming at and leading up to. He says there is a reason behind God's comforting us. He comforts us not for our own benefit alone, but for the benefit of others. He comforts us today so that we might comfort others tomorrow. Listen again to his words. Paul says, the God of all comfort comforts us so that we can comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. In other words, God stands by us in our troubles and trials, yes, to help us come through them, but he also stands by us in our troubles so that we may be equipped and qualified to stand by others when they are in need. And this is a ministry to which we are all called, to minister help and peace and strength and comfort and encouragement to each other. An old-time man of God, Dr. Jowett, once said, God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. He doesn't comfort us just to make us comfortable. Praise God for those times of comfort that have come to us when we've been deep in distress. But oh, that experience is that we might then become comforters to others. And that is a ministry that we should all be fulfilling within the fellowship of the people of God and towards those who are outside yet of the fellowship of God. We need to be showing such a life and such a help towards those who still need a Saviour. It's our business then, as Christians, as believers in Jesus, to stand by those who are in need. We are not to point the finger, but we are to lift the hand to help. We are not to criticise or to judge, but we are to speak that word of comfort, even to comfort them with the comfort that we ourselves have been comforted with by God. And as we are to comfort others in this way, with the comfort that we have received by God, being comforted by God, so we are to love others with the love by which we have been loved by God. And we are to receive and forgive and to welcome others with the reception and with the welcome with which we have been received and welcomed by God. And we are to forgive others with the forgiveness with which we have been forgiven by God. There's no end to it. Whatever blessing we receive, we should be showing in our lives and passing on to others. But the source of all the help and strength that we received is God himself, whom we need to know as our Father through knowing his Son Jesus as our Saviour. That's the starting point. Have you started? Are you going on? Are you living the life that you are called to live? Are you thanking God for his help and strength and comfort received down through the years? And are you asking him to direct you to others in the fellowship and outside to whom we might minister in the name of Jesus? So to end with the words of scripture before us, may the God of all comfort comfort us in all our trials and troubles, so that we may be able to comfort those in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves have received from God, that these other people may be helped, and that God may be glorified in us, by us, and through us. Today, next week, next month, all our lives through, until he calls us home to that perfect comfort that will be ours in glory there above. May it be so. To his name, amen.